Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here joining you on this Monday edition of the pod, February 24th. It is officially NFL Combine Week. A lot of NFL media heading down to Indianapolis for what is... I can never really tell how I feel about the Combine. I feel like every year it's different. One year I'm super into it and I'm thinking, oh, yeah. I mean, I like it because it represents draft season is really among us and I love everything that has to do with the evaluation process. But at the same time, do I really? Because a lot of this is just guys working out in shorts and a lot of overreactions about guys working out in shorts. So I feel like right now I'm really excited about it. And we're going to preview today the offensive side of the football and the offensive participants in the combine. And then tomorrow we will do the defensive side of the football. But, you know, I'm excited about it now. However, when we get into Thursday and Friday and people are freaking out about the 40 time of, I don't know, Van Jefferson, right? Or, you know, a big-time prospect that plays fast on the field and then maybe the 40 time is slow or, I don't know, like a DK Metcalf last year, right, where he struggles with a three-cone drill. Everybody kind of freaks out. He ends up being the seventh receiver taken at the bottom of the second round, and then he dominates the entire season, has over almost 1,000 yards, and kills the Eagles in a playoff game. So I'm very hot and cold with the NFL Combine, but regardless, it is part of the process. There are definitely pros and cons of these prospects that are working out that you can take away from this. You know, I always want to say that trust the tape. Like, that cannot be said enough, and use the combine as a complementing evaluation process, or a part of the evaluation process. Use it as a side element to that process, but have the core of how your opinions are based be off of, I think, the tape, right? I think it's pretty self-explanatory. So we'll get into some players to watch specifically for the Eagles on offense. I think they really need to take a look, obviously, at wide receiver. They're going to need to rebuild that position this offseason, either through free agency and or the draft. They're going to have to draft some wide receivers. They need young, inexpensive talent there with how much money they're going to have to spend on Alshon Jeffrey, whether he's on the team or not. And they're spending a good amount of money on DeSean Jackson as well. So they have a lot of money invested in that position already that they need to bring in some young, inexpensive, hopefully very productive talent. And then outside of that, though, I think they could use, we talked about running back options on our offseason options episode last week, which you can find on any podcast platform. They can maybe look for a, you know, a second or third string running back behind Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, or another free agent. So, but I think the ones I'm looking at specifically for the Eagles at the combine on offense are wide receiver and the offensive line. I know with, yeah, Andre Dillard, Lane Johnson, like Jason Kelsey, Isaac Samalo, Brandon Brooks, your starting five is pretty set for 2020, but depth, that could be a concern for the Eagles this year up front, because Halepuli Vaivai-Tai is going to get a starting job, I guarantee you, elsewhere this year. Jason Peters most likely will not be with the Eagles next year. He's going to want to start, and there are a bunch of teams that would love to have still Jason Peters as their starting left tackle. So I think what I'm watching for specifically, and I'll give you some specific names to watch later on in this episode, is offensive line and wide receiver for the Eagles to watch in Indianapolis. But before we get into our combine talk, today is another edition of Mock Draft Monday. And as we get deeper into, you know, March is coming up in April and the draft is at the end of April, we'll get back into our Mock Draft Mondays where me and Gino do 7-round mock drafts on the show. But as for today, because we do have to preview the combine, just going to get into here on segment one what the Draft Network did with their mock draft on this Monday. And Joe Marino, a good friend from Locked On Bills, took on the responsibility of picking for all 32 NFL teams in this draft. And with the Eagles, he went a little rogue, and I like it. It's not something that I would expect Philadelphia to do, but at the same time, would I hate it? I don't know, and let's see what you think. The Eagles, in his mock draft, and you can check that out on thedraftnetwork.com, they do this every Monday, and we love talking about it right here on Locked On Eagles. They did the mock draft. Joe Marino has the Eagles moving all the way up from pick 21 to pick 10 to select Clemson. I don't even think it does it does him justice to call him a linebacker, but I guess we'll call him a linebacker. He's really a linebacker. He can be a safety. He could play corner, I'm sure, if he wanted. Heck, he could probably go on the edge because Clemson used him as a pass rusher so much. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he played defensive end and destroyed a left tackle with a swim move and had 15 sacks in a year. He's a football player, and I know that's so cheesy to say, but Isaiah Simmons really is that. And Marino has the Eagles moving up 11 spots to go grab Isaiah Simmons. Specifically, personally for me, I'm not crazy about a trade-up, like a huge trade-up like this. Now, if Henry Ruggs were to fall or Christian Fulton to, let's say, pick, 17 or 18 and, past the top 15, if the Eagles only have to move up like 5-6 spots to get one of those guys and only give up an additional third-round pick, okay, I'm in on that because they're going to have multiple thirds this year, multiple fourth-round picks, but in a trade like this where they're going to have to give up a first, a second, possibly a fourth as well, and a future third, let's say in 2021, for somebody like Simmons, like, don't get me wrong, that kind of player is exactly what the Eagles defense needs right now. And every down player that's like the backbone of your defense at linebacker, he can play safety again deep or line up one-on-one with wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. He's that good of an athlete. Length, incredible athleticism, tackling ability is off the charts. A high IQ, again, just the length, I can't stress enough. He looks like LeBron James playing defense. It's so damn impressive. He's such an incredible prospect, probably one of the most well-rounded I've seen in a very long time. Exactly what the Eagles need, especially with Nigel Bradham being gone, and you would almost be doing a disservice to him to just play him in that role. Like, on third downs, you're going to want him to, like Malcolm Jenkins, roam around the formation. So, love the player choice for the Eagles. However, to give up that much draft capital, I don't know. For me this year, I'm looking forward to, because last year I agreed with moving up for Andre Dillard and grabbing your left tackle of the future. Sometimes it's not about quantity in a draft, it's about quality. When you can find your left tackle of the future, your running back of the future in Miles Sanders, hopefully J.J. Arcega-Whiteside becomes something. Yeah, although you didn't have 15 picks in that class, if you get three studs or two stars out of that class, it's hard to be totally upset with it. But because the past few years with the Carson Wentz trade and the Andre Dillard trade up and all this different stuff, moving back in 2018 and collecting extra picks for this year to move up for Dillard with that Lamar Jackson trade, they haven't had a class where they can just stockpile 12, 13 prospects and replenish what is a roster that I don't think needs as much youth as some people do, but they definitely need some sort of infusion of youth here and get a better balance on the roster. So I'm looking forward to having a first-round pick to use, a second-round pick, two-thirds, probably two fourth-round picks when the compensatory formula starts to award all the teams or the teams that will get them that get comp picks. And so, I don't know, I really like the idea of the Eagles this year having seven picks in the first four rounds. And am I opposed to a trade-up? Certainly no. And would I hate Isaiah Simmons on the Philadelphia Eagles? Absolutely not. But for me, not something that I would totally expect Philadelphia to do in the 2020 NFL draft. But once again, somebody like Isaiah Simmons, last week we also talked about linebacker options for the team, and we talked about guys like Patrick Queen from LSU. That's kind of a poor man's Isaiah Simmons right now. At least that's what Gino is saying. So that kind of player is something Philadelphia really needs to try to add in 2020. All right, coming up next, we're going to get into an offensive version of the NFL Scouting Combine preview. And I got some specific players to mention. I want to specifically talk about wide receiver and the offensive line because I think that's the two most important areas for the Eagles to add talent on offense this year. So we'll get into that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Guys, we are sponsored today by Blue Chew. This isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guys who want that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back into Locked On Eagles. We are previewing the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And once again, as I said, opening up the show, just don't read too much into it. Take everything this week that you hear with a grain of salt. And I don't just mean on the field with the workouts and with the overreactions, the takes about specific workouts of individual prospects, but also it's silly season in the NFL right now, and you're going to hear a lot of rumors. You're going to hear a lot of quote-unquote reports about not just, again, the draft itself and crazy trade scenarios and who's not going to pick who and who's going to demand out of this place. You know, Joe Burrow wants out of Cincinnati if he gets picked first overall. Not just all of that, but NFL free agency is coming up in a couple weeks as well. Agents are in Indianapolis. NFL executives from every single team, front office members, coaches, the media. So people are going to throw shit at the wall and they're going to see what sticks. Some of it could be legitimate. There could be some real weight to a lot of what you hear, and some of it could be absolute fluff that agents are coming up with to try to gain leverage. Teams are going to try to do the same thing. It's really just this giant, enormous game of chess. So you're going to hear a lot of stuff. Just be really, really careful. And that's what I'm just trying to, this year, head into the combine with, of course, an open mind. I think it's important as part of the draft evaluation process, but I'm coming in with a cautious approach because there's been times, some years, where I get a little bit too into it and I kind of make the mistake of doing what I'm telling you not to do now and be like, why the heck did I think that much about this player based on what he was doing in shorts and a tank top? So just take that advice. Trust the tape. When we're talking about opinions of these players, really, really trust the tape. I think, again, you can use the combine as a complement to that in evaluation, but to me, like, if a guy plays fast on the field and he kills the 40 time, that can confirm that, yeah, this dude is a burner, right? Use it, again, as a complement. Let it be something that either confirms what you're watching, or you see something at the combine that you really like or you really don't like, and you're going to say, okay, I'm not going to base my opinion off of what I just saw, but that's going to make me think, let me go back to the tape now and apply what I just saw, that struggle or that strength, and let's see how that player dealt with that on the field. That's how I like to do it, at least, because there's been just too many times where, let's talk about the 40 times specifically. Last year, you guys all know that listen to Locked On Eagles, I was enamored with Josh Jacobs from Alabama, now the running back of the Oakland Raiders. To me, outside of Miles Sanders, was probably the second best rookie last year. The NFL thought it was Kyler Murray just because everybody's just so infatuated with running backs, but nonetheless, like, Josh Jacobs was a player I thought was an absolute star, and I think he is in the NFL already. He didn't run the fastest 40 time, and that, I think the first 40 time he clocked in at, what, a 4.6, 4.6 something? It wasn't very good at all, and people were starting to think, okay, is Josh Jacobs somebody that's not explosive? Is he the next Eddie Lacy? Not, because the thought with Jacobs was he's this multi-dimensional weapon in the backfield that can not only, you know, bulldoze over a nose tackle and score 13 touchdowns in a year because he played with that kind of physicality, but he also lined up at wide receiver, ran pretty precise, specific routes down the field, beating safeties and linebackers in coverage. So the speed at the 40 time kind of scared people off, but me and Gino just kept saying, watch the tape, watch the tape, watch the tape. His game speed is so much different than the 40 time. And that's a real thing. Game speed versus 40 time speed, it's very different. There are ways that you can practice for the 40 time and you can train to get better. And there's also little things that can hurt it, you know, just based on the way you wake up, your diet that day. You could have tweaked a hammy, just you couldn't have warmed up right, and maybe you're a lot slower or a little bit slower than you would be on game day. It's not fair, if you ask me, to base your opinion, to formulate an opinion about a prospect based on just that. Or you can go the opposite way too. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, let's talk about the Eagles prospect specifically. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside last year, his stock really rose after the combine because he ran in the 4.4s. And nobody really thought that was the type of player he was. They thought this is an Alshon Jeffrey type of guy, a big-bodied receiver who's going to dominate more so with route running, with leverage, with his length, strong hands, the ability to just kind of be a basketball player and go up and get it in the red zone like he did all the time at Stanford. And then he ran a 4.4, and people are thinking, wow, maybe this dude has it all. Maybe he's more of a complete player than I thought. Sure, you can have that speculation, but don't just say from the combine, okay, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is also a burner. You got to go back and watch the tape from Stanford, and if you watch the tape from Stanford, you would see that's not the type of player he is. Then if you watched Arcega-Whiteside down the stretch with the Eagles this year in 2019, you would have saw that is not at all the type of player he is. His game speed is not 4.4. That's just not the type of player he is. Not saying that's going to make him a bad player in the league, although I am not nearly as big a fan of JJ as Geno is, but you know, that's something that you have to consider. So just, again, take everything with a grain of salt. I think it'll help. I think the combine can help confirm some things for you and make you reevaluate, but don't have it be the core of your evaluation. I also think it helps, too, it can bust narratives and assumptions about guys. For instance, let's look at T. Higgins, the wide receiver from Clemson, heading into the draft this year. He's someone that, you know, teams that need a big body target are saying, yeah, absolutely. Like, this is someone that you can draft, and he's 6'3 plus. He's the guy that, in double coverage, you can still throw it up to him, and he's going to go and get it. But often, with that kind of player, that also comes with, well, he's not a fast player, though. Like, he's someone that he's going to go up and get it in contested situations because he's always going to be contested. Sometimes people just group in strengths and weaknesses when that's not always the case. T. Higgins, yeah, he's a big, tall receiver, but he plays way faster. And, he's not my favorite guy. I wouldn't take him in the first round if I'm the Eagles at pick 21. But he is someone, though, that plays faster than people think. He is actually a pretty good run-after-the-catch wide receiver. The 40 time, this is where it can help. The 40 time could make people go back, again, to the film and actually see that and be like, okay, actually, yeah, he is a big-bodied wide receiver, but at the same time, this isn't just a one-dimensional player you're getting. You could get a way more well-versed player than maybe you expected. So again, just don't overreact to drills. I know DK Metcalf, he bombed the three-cone drill last year, and guess what? It didn't matter at all. So I'm looking forward to the on-the-field drills, though, too. I think specifically what I'm looking forward to, not just the 40 time and, you know, the three-cone and those, the athletic drills, but the on-the-field, like, route running, I love when the quarterbacks and the receivers, they start working together and the quarterbacks start throwing them the football. Because guys like Henry Ruggs, specifically talking about players that it's okay to know what their biggest strength is. Like, Henry Ruggs, why he's mentioned with the Eagles so much is because he's an absolute burner. He has world-class speed, DeSean Jackson-level speed, that Philadelphia desperately needs not only this year, but down the road when DeSean Jackson eventually hangs it up. I mean, the guy's going to be 34 this year. So it's okay to identify that biggest strength in a player, but that doesn't mean that they don't have other strengths. That doesn't mean that the same weaknesses in some players like that are the same weaknesses across the board. I think people just like to do that as a mental exercise to make themselves feel better. But to me, like Henry Ruggs, yeah, fastest player in the draft probably, but the dude is also a really damn good route runner. He has incredible hands for, you know, DeSean Jackson's like that. I feel like DeSean Jackson, his whole career in the NFL, he's just been seen as a deep threat, right? Because he's one of the best of all time. And yeah, that's true. But DeSean Jackson also has become an incredible route runner. He has really good hands. You saw that week one this past year against the Redskins. But people don't always talk about that because his one strength is so strong. So like Henry Ruggs, I'm excited to see him on the field running routes and maybe making some impressive catches. I think he's more of a complete wide receiver, and that's going to only help his stock. Or also, I'm excited to see Van Jefferson, the Florida wide receiver I mentioned before. I think his stock is going to continue to increase with those drills as well, because what Van Jefferson does as well, as well as almost anybody. Like, he's not someone that's going to destroy the 40 time and all the athletics stuff, but Van Jefferson is one of the smoothest route runners I've seen come out of a draft in a long time. Like, everything he does is just so smooth, and I think he showed that at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, and I think he's going to show that again at the Combine. So I think guys like Henry Ruggs, of course, but then some deeper level prospects like Van Jefferson are really going to help out their stock on the field in Indianapolis this week a couple other guys too, like Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. I think he's going to keep elevating himself to the point where I think we're eventually going to start talking about him, much like N'Keal Harry, his former teammate from Arizona State. Brandon Ayuk is going to be a first-round pick. Hear me now, believe me later. And maybe the Eagles could be that team that takes him at 21, or maybe they move back for Ayuk. I wouldn't hate that at all. Brandon Ayuk is going to be a first-round pick, ladies and gentlemen. I'll remind you of this in April, at the end of April. He's going to be a first-round pick. Another guy, late prospect, might not even get drafted, but somebody I really like, and I'm going to be at the Syracuse Pro Day, so I'm looking forward to talking to him. It's Syracuse wide receiver Tristan Jackson, who he transferred from Michigan State a couple years ago, and I think he's going to run a really good 40 time and make people turn on the tape. He's a late-round option again, maybe a sixth or seventh-round pick, maybe someone that becomes another one of those classic undrafted hero stories that Philadelphia has been able to pull off the last couple years. But if the Eagles want to double down and take multiple young wide receivers in this draft class or sign one, two in the undrafted class, Tristan Jackson is someone that you should really keep an eye out for. He's a really good late option if you want some speed as part of the depth, because remember what happened last year. They thought they addressed the speed of, you know, DeSean Jackson, and they thought Nelson Agholor was going to be that backup option. Neither one worked out, and then they had no explosiveness at all to work with. So I think maybe this year, as your sixth wide receiver or somebody that you have on the practice squad, like a Tristan Jackson, that's somebody that it would be nice to have that kind of speed, you know, hanging around your roster in some way. So those are some guys I'm really looking forward to watching on later on this week on offense. I think Van Jefferson, Henry Ruggs, Tristan Jackson, Brandon Ayuk, all different players with different strengths, but I think there's enough drills in this combine that can really help all of those guys. All right, coming up on segment three, I want to talk about the offensive line because, again, Big V, probably not coming back to Philadelphia this year. I would almost guarantee it. He's going to find a starting job somewhere. Jason Peters, think that time is over as well. The Andre Dillard era of the left tackle spot, likely coming up in 2020. They need depth. The Eagles need depth at the offensive line. Is there anything you can take away from that position at the combine? That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eagles fans across the globe, Louis DiBiase here wrapping up this Monday edition of Locked On Eagles, getting into the NFL scouting combine in 2020, the offensive side of the football. You know, quarterback, it doesn't really matter unless you want me to talk about late round quarterbacks that the Eagles could take, but I'm just over that process of taking a quarterback in the fifth round. To me, it's just not something I want to spend draft capital on. I'm so bitter about them taking Clayton Thorson while a guy like Darius Slayton goes a little bit after to the New York Giants, or Charles Omenihu is wrecking on the defensive line for the Houston Texans. So I'm kind of bitter about that. And I don't know. I don't really think the quarterback class in this draft is important to the Eagles. And I don't think, I mean, running back maybe later on, but in tight end, like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert are the guys. So, I mean, if you guys want me to do those positions, I will. But just to save time and talk about more important issues here with the Birds, I think wide receiver, of course. I mean, I mentioned Henry Ruggs, Brandon Ayuk, Tristan Jackson, Van Jefferson. There's so many. This class is so deep. And it's such a good opportunity for Philadelphia to add to what they need in 2020 and for the future. Like, that position to me, I would say corner is the most important, but wide receiver, it's probably 1A, 1B with linebacker right there, right behind those two. So they got to add wide receivers. Even if they go after, I saw a report today that the Eagles might be leading the way in the Amari Cooper sweepstakes in a month. We'll see if that actually happens. But even if they were to do something like that, that's only one guy. Yes, you'd have Amari Cooper and DeSean Jackson in 2020. Fantastic. But let's remember, DeSean Jackson is going to be 34. So this isn't just a position where you add one guy and you're good. You're going to have to add multiple young players to make sure that Carson Wentz doesn't have to deal with what he dealt with last year moving forward in the future, or what he dealt with in 2016. So wide receiver, extremely important. I think there's things for these guys to do to help their stock at the combine at wide receiver. As for offensive line, because the Eagles do need depth there. Right now, Matt Pryor is probably your new version of Big V, where he's your, what, top backup for the guard position and for the tackle spots. Right? If Big V and Jason Peters are gone, Andre Dillard's going to start at left tackle. And then Matt Pryor is You know, Herbig's going to be Jason Kelsey's backup center, praying, of course, that Jason Kelsey doesn't hang him up. I would assume, though, we'd probably know by now if he was going to retire. So they should have Jason Kelsey again in 2020. So Herbig's there, but Matt Pryor is like, and yeah, you have Jordan Mailata still, but I still don't know what he's going to be. Hopefully enough to where you can trust him to be a backup. There's just so much upside still with Jordan Mailata, but, you know, back injuries now have been something that have hurt his career. So there's not a lot to rely on. Even Matt Pryor showed some good things last year in limited time, but even Matt Pryor doesn't have a lot of in-game experience. So they got to add more players up front. And the combine isn't something, of course, that you want to base a lot of opinion off of just in general, but especially with the offensive line. Like, you got to watch the tape for offensive linemen. If you're saying anything extreme about an offensive lineman based on what they did in the combine, that's way too excessive. But at the same time, like, specifically, I like a player from Missouri, Yazir Durant. He's an interior offensive lineman. He's 6'7". Like, he is a mammoth of a man. Like, he's just a giant dude that can just move any defensive lineman he wants, right? Just strong, powerful, especially in the run game. But for somebody that's 6'7", he can move. The Eagles like to have athletic offensive linemen that can get to that second and third level, right? I just picture Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson swinging and pulling, you know, on an outside zone run and just destroying a linebacker or getting their hands on a safety, right? Jason Peters doing that. Yazir Durant can do that. He is 6'7", but he has good athleticism, pretty good explosiveness for a dude that's 6'7", 300 plus pounds. So the 40 time doesn't matter really for offensive linemen, but yeah, I would like to see what the 10-yard split is of a guy like Yazir Durant or a D3 guy like Ben Bartsch, maybe the new Ali Marpet. If you remember a couple years back from Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers took Ali Marpet in the third round. He was a D3 guy from Hobart, actually ended up being an okay starter for a bit. So Ben Bartsch, D3 guy, see him on a bigger stage, gets to talk to NFL teams, and super intelligent, powerful hands. I think he's got pretty fluid hips, but we could see him maybe show a little bit better when it comes to handling speed. That's something that you really need now in the NFL because defensive linemen, I mean, Montez Sweat, we remember last year, ran what, like a 4.4? Montez Sweat ran like a wide receiver. And at the same time, he's got this massive wingspan. He's like 6'4", 6'5", defensive end now for the Washington Redskins. So the Eagles, they need help on the offensive line. Again, don't base a strong opinion on a lot of what you see at the combine, especially for a lineman. But, you know, guys like Durant, guys like Bartsch, that this could really help out their stock. And instead of being a fourth or fifth round pick, it could make them a third round pick. And the Eagles need depth there. So going to keep a close eye on that as well, for sure. All right. So that's a mini preview. Again, there's just so many players to get into, and we'll continue to give you takeaways each and every day throughout the combine process. But that specifically on the offensive side of the football is what I'm looking for. That's how I'm handling the combine this year. I would recommend taking my advice or else you're going to burn out before we even hit free agency, before we even hit the NFL draft, because it is silly season and you're going to hear a lot of information this week. So just know how to sort through it, know how to filter it all out, and know what to really put a whole lot of stock into. But it's a fun time. You know, it's an important part of the evaluation. I'm excited to see, like, I hope Henry Ruggs destroys the 40 time, or KJ Hamler, another guy that I absolutely love, or if a T. Higgins does run a good 40 time, this platform can help these prospects. But I've just seen way too many times a player excel in the NFL, and that player was the subject of so much criticism based on what they did at the combine. DK Metcalf specifically last year. Or the opposite, where John Ross just destroys the combine. And then what has John Ross done in the NFL? Really not that much. So again, just be careful with it. That's all I'm saying. But it is an exciting time. It's something else. It's a new event that's part of the offseason that, and again, just having any sort of activity, a lot of stories flying around, it's more fun that way, of course. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. We will be back tomorrow to take a look at the defensive side of the football, one that I think there's more needs for the Eagles for sure. up front on the defensive line, I think. I think at linebacker, of course, now without Nigel Bradham, and the entire secondary. The Eagles really, really actually do have their work cut out for them on defense. So we'll get into some combine takeaways for defense coming up on tomorrow's edition of the podcast. Make sure you subscribe on any platform or hit us up at LockedOnEagles.com. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds. You can follow me at DiBiase LOE, and Gino is on Twitter at Gino_LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.